We're glad that we have this opportunity to come together one more time this side of eternity and to study together from God's inspired word. A man is sentenced to die by lethal injection at 12:01 on February the 9th. At precisely 11:59 on the 8th, a man comes into his cell, and the convicted man asked, "Am I pardoned?" And sadly, the answer is no. As a result, he must die for his crimes. This is a sobering thing, and one we don't relish, but it is in accord with the law of God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul declares that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and verse 23, he declares that we have a situation here where we have wages of sin. And what are they? They're death. Every accountable person has sinned and thus is under a death sentence. For this very reason, every accountable person should want to know, am I pardoned? But how can I know if I have received a pardon? When I breathe my last and depart from this earth, it will be too late to do anything about my condition. And if I have not received a pardon, according to Jesus in Matthew 25 and 46, I'll be doomed to eternal torment. Well, there are three theories that are set forth on knowing for sure that you have received a pardon. And these three theories, get that thing there. These three theories are, you cannot know for sure. And the second being, you can know by a feeling you have. And the third, you can know by faith. Now, let's look at the value of evidence. The word evidence is defined by Webster as something that makes another thing evident. Indication or a sign. Something that tends to prove ground for belief. In law, it's something presented in legal proceedings as a statement of a witness or an object or etc., which bears on or establishes a point in question. We can all see how important evidence is in a court of law. People guilty of capital crimes are often turned loose to plague society because of insufficient evidence. But in religious matters, we also recognize the importance of evidence. We have evidence which proves the inspiration of the Bible. Such things as the fact that there are no contradictions from Genesis to Revelation, not a single one. And despite the number of men involved in compiling the Bible, there's no differences. But these men lived in different times, in different cultures, but they still had no differences in what they taught. And of course, the number of prophecies which are fulfilled within the pages of the Old and New Testament proves that it comes from God without a doubt. Now, when it comes to pardon, however, there are some things we just can't know for sure. Well, who says that? Well, some people believe that. Whether or not you're pardoned is just one of those things. You just don't know for sure. Well, it's true that there are some things that we cannot know for sure. But the Bible says there are some things we can know for sure. And whether we're pardoned or not is one of them. Look with me, if you will, at Job chapter 19 and verse 25. This might sound familiar to you. Job 19 and verse 25. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. We can know that our Redeemer lives. Peter told those assembled on Pentecost in Acts 2. Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Now, this is something you can know without a doubt. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. We can know assuredly that Jesus is our Lord and Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What is it we can know? We can know this. Not wish it, not hope for it. We can, in fact, know it. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, John says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Now listen. But we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We don't know how we'll be, but we know we'll be like him. We can know that. Now, in the same sense, we can know that we are pardoned. Now, I want you to follow along carefully with me. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, John says, now by this we know that we know him. Now, how do I know that I know the Lord? Well, he tells us, and what is it? If we keep his commandments. Notice the big word, if. If we keep his commandments. Again, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. Now notice, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Dear ones, this is objective evidence upon which we can draw this conclusion. We love the brethren. We keep his commandments. Therefore, we know him. And we know we have passed from death to life. Simple as that. But someone says, well, just exactly what do you mean by pardon? Well, again, the word is defined by Mr. Webster to release a person from further punishment for a crime, to cancel or not exact penalty for an offense. The notice says, forgive. This helps us to see that pardon is not something that takes place in the heart of the accused. It's not a better felt than told feeling that I have that, oh, I've got evidence of pardon. No, that's not it. Pardon does not take place in the heart of the accused. Instead, it is remission or forgiveness given by God. God said through Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 34, speaking of the days of the Messiah. Now listen carefully. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And again, Jeremiah. I skipped Jeremiah 33 and verse 8, but we're gonna plug it anyway. I'm gonna get it in here. Jeremiah 33 and verse 8 first. I will cleanse them from their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Now, look at Jeremiah 50 and verse 20. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found. Here's why. For I will pardon those whom I preserve. That's God's promise. So, the pardoning then is something that takes place in heaven. It is God who does the pardoning. Speaking through Isaiah in Isaiah 55 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God. Listen, for he will abundantly pardon. Pardon is something that takes place in heaven, in the mind of God. Now, what about those that say, well, you can only know you're pardoned by a feeling? Well, one of the great lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament is that feelings are not reliable. Feelings are often based on physical facts, such as we know it's hot because we feel hot, or we know it's cold, we feel cold, or soft or hard or whatever, or something hurts. But consider this, the account of Isaac and Jacob, when the mother deceived the old man. giving Jacob his brother's blessing. Oh, you read the account, and the clothing smelled like his brother. The hair on his hands, the back of his hands, was like his brother. It all seemed to be that of his son Esau. But in fact, it was Jacob. Isaac was deceived by feelings. But sin is not a physical, material substance that you can mess with. In 1 John chapter 5, I'm sorry, I must have skipped over that. No, there it is. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Ah, there it is. Glad I have this over here to keep me on track over here. Sin is what? Lawlessness or transgression of the law. Again, in 1 John 5 and verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. Thus, neither the sin nor the forgiveness of it are things that we feel. And we know that Christians have no confidence in fleshly feelings. But they place their confidence and their trust in God's word. The emotional nature of man is something that cannot be trusted. I guess there's always some who are looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And no matter what you tell them, they cannot be told different. But there's also people who think that they are on the right highway until they suddenly realize they're going the wrong way. Some have believed false reports of a friend's death. Jacob said in Genesis chapter 37, yeah, that's it right there. Genesis 37, verse 35, that I will go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Now why did he say, he believed Jacob? He believed he was dead. His son was dead. But Joseph was very much alive. Naaman said in 2 Kings 5 and verse 11, indeed I said to myself, he will surely come out to me, that is the prophet, come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. What he thought within himself was not true. Was not true. Jesus spoke boldly of the heathens who think that they will be heard because they're so verbose. But you know what he says about them? He says their prayers would be go no higher than the ceiling of the room in which they prayed. We all know that feelings can be deceptive. In fact, can be even dangerous. Especially when your feelings tell you everything's all right with your person. In reality, something's very wrong. But think about this. If you base your belief that you are pardoned on some feeling you had, how do you know that it was the right feeling? Now, this is an honest question. Where can I go to find out how one is supposed to feel when they are pardoned. We hear people all the time talking about, oh, I had a tingling sensation all over my body. My knees just gave out and I fell down. Oh, I had a feeling in the pit of my stomach. Well, how do you know that this is the right feeling? There is no place you can go in the scriptures that tells you how you're supposed to feel when you're pardoned. In the absence of objective evidence that tells me what feelings mean, how can I say with any certainty that the feeling doesn't mean my pardon is refused? Just like the fellow we talked about at the beginning of our lesson. Imagine the man on death row saying to the warden, I know I have been pardoned because I feel it in my heart. So open up the doors and let me go. I don't think that would happen. I don't think that would happen. Well, how do I know that I am pardoned? Well, the proper way of knowing we are pardoned is by faith. And here we are talking about objective evidence that proves whether one is pardoned or not. Well, what do you mean? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk or live on the basis of objective evidence, not on the basis of the way things appear or seem to be. Faith is described in Hebrews 11. Yeah, there it is. I knew I had it up there. Hebrews 11. And verse 1, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, in verse 3 of this same context, that's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, we find by faith. Now listen to this. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things seen which are seen, were not made of things which are visible. Now, what does he say? By faith we understand. We know how the worlds were framed by the word of God when something became, or nothing became something, so that the things that were seen, that we see, are not made of things visible. Whenever one walks by feelings, they are groping around in the darkness like a blind person. And the fact is, faith cannot come by feelings. Oh, I know some people think that God granted them faith when they got this better felt than told feeling. But Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God affords us infallible proofs. Thus, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we must give the more... I'm going to have to get a little bit of water, excuse me. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. If the word spoken through angels proves steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Now listen, God bearing witness both with signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Spirit according to his will. John tells us in John 20, 30 and 31 that the Gospels were written. Why? That we might believe, and in believing we might have eternal life. All of this has been confirmed for us. All of it. But unfortunately, there are always some who express doubt in the truth of God's word. They always want more evidence. And thus, we're opening the door whenever we accept, well, okay, let's see if we can find some more. No, we're opening the door to Satan to provide us false evidence that will mislead us. Consider with me, if you will, the account of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. The rich man got the word from Abraham that there's no crossing over, that there's no coming over and giving a little water. None of that's going to work. So he asked Abraham to send someone back from the dead to his brothers so they would not join him in torment. And look at the words of Abraham. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Oh, no, but the rich man disagreed. He wanted more evidence. Abraham said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Those who are not satisfied with what God has provided will not be satisfied if perchance God were to send one back from the dead that would, we got more evidence. God has given them all the evidence they need. John says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, by this we know him if we keep his commandments. We know that we know him, and thus have pardon because we know what? Well, we know we have believed upon him who is the Christ, the Son of God. We know that we have repented. We have changed our mind toward God and confessed Jesus as Lord and Christ, and have been buried with Jesus in baptism for the remission of our sins. And we know if we are living in faithful service to him each day. We can, and we must know if we are pardoned. We know these things. Now, we can and must. Do you have a reliable evidence of pardon? I don't want to know how you felt about it or what you thought about it. I want to know, do you have reliable evidence? If not, why not? It is available to all of us. And it is precious to know that we are in Christ and that we have obeyed Christ in baptism. And that with a life of faithfulness to Him, we have a hope of a home in heaven when life is done. Appreciate your careful attention this morning.